righty then. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you, loves, for being here. And we are talking about, we're talking about a few things, actually, and they're kind of springboarding off of yesterday's show. In a way, we talked about God and your belief in God. And a couple of follow-up questions. Number one, have you ever seen or experienced a miracle? Number two, do you believe there are angels on earth? Have you had an experience with an angel? Have you had experience with a miracle? And do you really think that, in light of our first caller there about Lou Holtz, do you really think that there are people who can look at you and sense that something really good is going to happen to you or for you? Or something is really bad. And, of course, if they think something bad is going to happen, they should probably keep their mouth shut. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And, again, great half hour to call the show because unless something huge happens, we don't need to break for traffic. I just get to talk to you guys. So let's go to nothing wrong with traffic, mind you. It's a very important service we provide. Here is, not that there's anything wrong with that, here is Kathleen and Clarence on WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It was similar to what Tom had said about his mother. My son's mother-in-law, which was out of state, was going into her car. She had her husband, who was very ill, in a wheelchair. And she tried to get him in, and she was just unable to, you know, manipulate him enough to get him into the vehicle. And she turned around, and there was a man there that lifted her husband into the car. When she turned around to thank him, which was only a second, he was gone.
Wow.
And I really believe in that was a miracle. I do believe that was her angel. And many times I've had feelings with people, as Tom did, really. And I feel that we all have that sixth sense, but sometimes we don't listen to it.
So would you say that you have good intuition? Do you have a good gut, if you will, when it comes to knowing when something's right and something's wrong?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And we all have to ask ourselves, is this right or is this wrong, or am I really thinking clearly? But in most cases, your gut tells you the truth.
Oh, absolutely. I'm an absolutely huge believer in that. Listening to your gut, listening to your own, I'd say listening to your own inner voice, but that, you know, might mean you need medication or something. But as far as the angel story that you told, I mean, kind of a miracle, kind of an angel. It is very similar to what my mom experienced with my father, because, like, from nowhere, this woman appeared, and with superhuman strength, because even without his legs, my dad was not exactly light, and basically effortlessly placed him in the car. And then no sooner did my mother turn around to thank her than she was gone. And the same thing happened to you, your mom, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It was my son's mother-in-law that had told me about this. And she still can't get over it to this day, you know. And she's never talked about spirits or anything of that sort. And my brother-in-law, he had a terrible accident on Whirly Drive in Transit in Williamsville. And they didn't know if he was going to make it either. But we just prayed, all of us, the whole family. And, you know, I think that's what we have to pray for in our world right now, is peace. Because there's not much left except prayer. Everything is so confusing for all of us as people. I think it's a most confusing time in my whole lifetime.
I'll take the bait. In what way is this the most confusing time?
I just think our world affairs, knowing that we're helping people out of our own country, and that's a good thing. But I think there's so many people in our own country here that the families that need help too. And it's just a very confusing time for anybody that I talk to. They just to talk about politics in a group. I mean, we don't do that as a family anymore because it gets so confusing. Everyone has their own feelings, their own topic, and it's like people have to get together and really just help one another.
Well, things have always been confusing. I mean, there is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Life can change on a dime. I mean, look at World War I.
That's true.
1914, people enjoyed a very wonderful, warm summer in Europe, and then a obscure Archduke from Austria-Hungary and his wife get killed in Sarajevo, and that starts a war that ends up killing 10 million people in that war and led directly to World War II, in which some 50 million people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always say World War I was the defining event of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And the phrase that bothers me, not that you asked, but in case you wanted to know, is crime of the century. Because you can go back and look at 20th century crimes, and so many crimes were called the crime of the century. There can only be one crime of the century. There can only be one. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you kindly. I appreciate it. Appreciate the story. All right. Do you believe, have you experienced a miracle in your life? Have you seen a miracle? Another kind of miracle, and I've done shows on this, but the lady mentioned the accident at Transit and Worley. How many of you, again, this is kind of a stepping stone from yesterday's program. How many of you have truly experienced a near-death experience, other than listening to my show sometimes? How many of you have experienced, like, a near-death situation? And what was it like? Put us in the picture. Here is Karen in East Aurora on WBEN. Hello, Karen.
Hello. Mine is not a near-death experience. Mine involves geocaching. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. But back in the, I think it started in the 1990s, when the GPS started coming out, and you could locate things with your coordinates and things. And
right.
My husband and I got interested in it, maybe 10 years ago or something. And you go on the internet to geocaching.com, and they give you coordinates for different sites all over the world. And there were hundreds of thousands of geocaches available and millions of geocachers. So it might be a monument. It might be like the Roycroft Inn. It could be something on a trail. It could be almost anything. And you could go to your site, like we live at East Aurora, so we go in there and we could hit a circle of how far away you wanted to look, and it would give you all the geocaches, different levels of difficulty, different sizes that you could find. So we'd load up. We didn't have a cell phone, so we had a handheld gadget, which you could load up from the internet with them in it, and then you could start looking for these things. So we did that, and then they also have, and geocaches could be tiny things, they could be virtual things, a lot of them were ammo cans that people would put, there'd be a little log book and a pencil, and with the name of that cache had a number as well as the traveling bugs, and we got one traveling bug for each of our six children. We attached to it a Fisher-Price little animal, and the the tags were dog tags, so it would be attached to it with a code number on it. So we attached that to the animal, and then we left them all in Sanibel Island in different places. And our goal for this traveling bug was to get back to the Mill Road Overlook, where we had a cache. Well, most of them got lost, and one I hadn't heard of for a few years. All of a sudden, out of the blue, it came up that somebody in the state of Washington and the traveling bug had gotten over 3,000 miles, had gotten out there, and was being transported to Acadia National Park the next day. My son, who lives in Maryland, who never took the kids to some place like that, they might go to an amusement park, was going there the next day. And so I arranged with him, and then he was coming to visit us, or visit me, I should say. So he went to the next day, picked up the traveling bug, brought it home to me. It was the day of the first anniversary after my husband passed away. So you've got millions times hundreds of thousands plus going to a certain place over miles, over time, to get back to me for my anniversary.
I guess I'm a little bit lost as far as the point of geocaching.
It was just kind of a fun thing for people to do as kind of a hobby. And so, like, if we were going someplace, like we were going camping, we might look up on the internet what different geocaches were someplace, so you
but
could
what
find.
What do you find? I mean, what do you find? If I'm going to go through that, I want to find buried treasure.
Okay, that's what the whole point was. Whoever started this would have like an ammo can or something in which they would stash stuff. So there might be toys for the kids. There could be anything you want in it. So you could put it. You could put in some, leave some loot, and take some loot with you. And then, as well as that, you're going to, like in the Adirondacks, you might be on a trail that nobody else had been on that you'd never would have found, or. Within East Aurora, there were like 100 within an hour, or within a half an hour even, of just of East Aurora at the time. I don't know how popular it was. So it'd be
so
fun.
The miracle that you're trying to communicate is exactly what?
The miracle was the fact that we had this one particular traveling bug, which was the ID tag with a little Fisher-Price animal that represented a grandchild, got from Sanibel Island back to our house the year after my husband died on our anniversary, after traveling all around for 3,000 miles back and forth across the country, all over the place, with being touched by all kinds of different people, and then all these different sites they could be put in. So it touched all these different hands to get all the way back here to East Aurora. Via Acadia National Park. There are geocaches. I think there might even be one on the moon, but they're all over the world, even in these warring countries, in communist countries, all over the world were hundreds of thousands of these boxes or little anything you could put them in. I think one we found was actually in a big bin, which was all coffee mugs or something.
You ever find any money? I mean, you ever find any significant money?
My husband used to use the dollar coins. He used to leave those.
I traveled 3,000 miles and I got a dollar back.
But it was just a fun hobby to do if you were going somewhere.
Whatever floats your boat. I mean, some people like to sail. Some people like to metal detect. Some people like to sit on their butts and watch sports. I mean, it's whatever. It's a free country. You can have fun doing whatever you want to do within reason.
And it's a fun family thing to do with your kids. You know, you're all searching for this thing and trying to find out where this thing is hidden. And then you'd log it in the book, and you'd also log it in on the internet that you found it and where you were taking it. So I don't know if it's still being done very much, but at the time it was really popular.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about it and feeling just as lost then as I do now about the whole idea. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Have you experienced a miracle? Do you believe that there are angels? And I'm not talking about necessarily white beings flapping their wings in the heavens. I mean, angels on earth. Because if you walked around wearing a white robe and wings, people would talk. But see, if you're gonna be an angel, you got to kind of blend in with the crowd, like the hybrid aliens do. Here is Chapman in Lancaster. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon, Your Royal Highness.
Yes. Well, Your Majesty would be sufficient, but I'll take Your Royal Highness. Thank you. It's my preferred pronoun.
Yes, my lord. I have a. I don't know if I'd really call it like a miracle, as in like a. In like a strange, like paranormal type sense, like, oh, there's nothing quite that interesting, but more of like a crazy holiday like act of kindness. To say briefly, several weeks ago, went and turned in plate to the DMV, received a check then for the refund that was prorated for the registration. I also lost my ID just recently, so I figured, okay, now I have the chance to go in and get a duplicate ID, which I needed to. Was it about $20 for it? So I go to the bank that the check was drawn on, so that I can cash it. And because I don't have a valid ID, that the one I had left was out of date, they weren't able to do anything for me. That a manager came over and so on and so forth. Apparently, one of the customers in the long line of people waiting behind me overheard what was going on. And at the last moment, when I was getting ready to just leave, dejected from the whole situation, out of the corner of my eye, I see a hand slip a $20 bill on the desk in front of me, and she darted off where I couldn't even see her face or say thank you. And, like, I don't very often find myself in a position where I am speechless, and I don't know even, like, how to react to it, but I was just blown away by that.
That is, okay, that is super cool. If you want to hold on, I'd like to hear more about this. I'm fascinated, frankly, by this topic, and I hope you guys are as well. And I know we're heading into the holiday weekend and everything, but your calls make the show. I don't make the show. I'm like Ed Sullivan. I get all the credit, but you guys do all the work. So kind of like it that way, actually. It is Bowerly. Well, actually, Tanner Saunders gets the credit and wheelbarrows full of money every day when he leaves the radio station. Problem is, it's World War One post-Germany, World War One, taking his wheelbarrow full of money to the store to buy a loaf of bread. I got a story about that, I'll tell you in just a few minutes. Miracles. Have you ever experienced a miracle? Have you ever had a near-death experience? Do you believe that there are angels on Earth? And are there people who can look at you and tell that good fortune is coming your way, like Lou Holtz? And the story about Lou Holtz is our first caller today told a great story about meeting Lou Holtz, having Lou Holtz sign a program. And all he was going to do is just sign the program and then take care of the next person in line. But he refused to give back the program until he had written on it, expect a miracle. And shortly thereafter, the guy's dog got hit by a car, actually a truck, and managed to survive. So that's interesting stuff. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to Chapman in Lancaster. And Chapman, refresh everybody who's just tuning in on your tale.
All righty. Yeah, because there's actually a second part to that story. But yes, it started off, I went to I was at a DMV returning in some plates several weeks ago. I got a refund check in the mail for a prorated amount and such, and I just recently lost my license, had to get a duplicate, and it was the only amount of money I would have for the moment here. So I went to the bank where the check was drawn from. I waited in line, got up to the teller there. The ID that I currently had, an old one that I had now that had long been expired. They weren't able to use it or do anything with it. And they said I needed a current, up-to-date ID. And I said, well, I'm trying to go to the DMV to do that, but I need to cash this check to do it. So it's like a rock and a hard place. But and right when I'm just getting ready to give up and leave, I just look down. I see a $20 bill just get slipped right under my nose there. I turned
and then
and
she
I
vanished. And then she vanished.
Pretty much. She just walked out so quick I couldn't even make out her face or anything like that. And I was just like, what? And I was just dumbfounded. I looked at the other people, and the one guy just kind of looked at me and just kind of shrugged. I'm like, yeah, that really happened. And I was just blown away. But then it gets weirder from there. The teller was wondering why I was acting that way, and I ended up telling her. And at that same time, a manager ended up coming over to see what was going on. And after saying, like, oh, what just happened, I said, I guess I don't really need to cash this check. Sorry to waste your time and all that. Somebody was nice enough to help me out. And then he said, well, if you got another form of ID, like a bank card or anything like that, and I had a DoorDash card, and he overrated it, cashed the check for me anyway, even waived the fee for it. And
wow.
Then after all that, I ran out there trying to find the person and to either give it back or say thank you, or just to say, like, I'm far from a person that needs, like, a charity like this. I'm not deserving of it. There's others that could have used it more, but I wanted to thank her. But I'm long gone by that point there. But hopefully she's listening, so that she knows that it affected me for the rest of the day. Like, it was on my mind, just that kind of kindness, you know, that for the time of the year it is. And like I said, I'm not deserving of that kind of kindness like that. I help others when I can, though. But
well, of course you are. I'm sure you've committed an act of kindness or two in your life that got paid back to you. I mean, don't underestimate your own goodness.
Now I sound like
Lou Holtz. I'm not going to tell you to expect a miracle, though. Chapman, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your Honor. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Mike in Medina, you are on. Hello.
Actually, Tom, I'm in Batavia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Mike in Batavia, hello.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the guy that suggested they put railroad crossing guards up on the thruway to keep idiots off there in bad weather, but that's beside the point.
Yes, it is.
A bunch of years ago, I was dating a woman that lived down in Naples, New York, down in the ski country, and I was going down there to see her, and so I'm just driving along, and all of a sudden I got this weird kind of like sixth sense, spidey sense, whatever you want to call it. You better slow down. Something's going to run out in front of you. And it there were a lot of deer down there, obviously. So I did. I backed off on the gas pedal a little bit, and literally like less than 2 minutes later, I see the brush on the side of the road starting to move, and I said, oh, here it comes. So I hit the brakes, and I slowed down. And it wasn't a deer. It was a black bear. Came right out into the street. And I came to a complete stop, like maybe two or three car lengths before I would have hit him. And he just kind of stopped, and he looked over at me. And then he went over to the other side of the road. And this is the funny part. He crawled under the guardrail. And he had to, like, wiggle his butt to get underneath it. It was hysterical, and then he disappeared off into the trees. But that's kind of like my spidey sense. If I hadn't slowed down, I probably would have nailed him.
Oh, spidey sense is definitely part of this show. I mean, that absolutely it fits totally into what we're talking about. Now, the one thing though, I've seen a lot of videos about black bears. And sometimes, if you have a black bear mama, it's not just the black bear itself, it's the cubs she's trailing behind her. So you gotta be extra careful with black bears. I mean, they'll follow mom in a line like ducklings.
Yep. No, there was no ducklings. There was just the one bear. But, he just, like, it was funny because, like I said, he looked at me like, what are you doing on my road? You know? And then he kept moving off on his way.
Mike, see, what we need is arms along brushy areas now to keep black bear from the road, but they just wiggle underneath.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, there's another idea for you. But the you know, the whole bear situation. There's so many things. Have you? I don't know if you get these stories on your news feed or whatever. But what amazes me are the number of idiot human beings who go to national parks and they try to interact with wildlife. Like, excuse me. These are wild animals that you're messing with.
Yes.
They are unpredictable. Yes. They are predatorial. They will hurt you. They will hurt you badly.
They don't inherently trust you. They think you're trying to harm them, and they're going to defend themselves, and they got claws and teeth and all that stuff.
Well, in the case of bear, yeah. And, I mean, I've seen people, I mean, I think I've seen pretty much anything that slithers, crawls, or walks, and people get out of the car, and maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's Disney, but they think that these animals are like Winnie the Pooh, and they're not. They're wild animals doing what wild animals do. And then there was a story over the summer about some idiot, I think, at Yellowstone, who got out and somehow touched an animal, and because of what they did, the animal, for whatever reason, had to be put down because of human stupidity. And the other thing, and not that this has anything to do with, I mean, I'm being pretty open today because it's heading into a holiday weekend, and I'm hoping that, I'm hoping in the 4 o'clock hour we get calls from very intoxicated people. But I get a lot of news videos, reels. Again, I have a very, the only reason I have a Facebook page, a personal Facebook page, is as a placeholder. I don't use it. I don't take messages on it. It's a time vampire. But there are times I will scroll through, and somehow I got on this list of videos that shows unlikely animal pals. And there was, and it drives me crazy because of the comments that people make. Oh, how cute. This is the sweetest thing I've seen all day. And one of the videos, and I even had to comment on it, was a chipmunk that was crawling all over an obviously agitated cat. And everybody, oh, look what good friends they are. And I'm thinking to myself, that chipmunk is cat poop right now. There's nothing cute about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, you cut out.
I said that isn't going to end well.
No, it is not. And so many of these videos of unlikely animal pals, I'd really like to see 1 week later, 1 month later, because I'll bet you that, you know, the tiger and the poodle, who are best of friends, may not have ended up very well.
Probably not.
I'm just saying, or the cat and the bird. I think the bird might be named Molly. And and every time I watch videos, all I can think of is one swat of that cat's claw, and that bird is dead. I mean, have you ever been hit by a cat? Some of them pack a pretty wicked punch.
Yeah.
all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good call.
No
Great
problem,
call.
Tom.
Yep. You know, Spidey, okay, I'll throw this out, too. I'm throwing everything out today. It's like Kitchen Sink Day on the Bowerly Show. Or would that be Kitchen Stink Day on the Bowerly Show? Videos, again, I don't know how I got this particular list, but it's just, it drives me nuts when people say, oh, it's so charming. Oh, it is so cute. Isn't it wonderful how they're such good friends? And first of all, the one video of the chipmunk, the person who posted it didn't know the difference between a squirrel and a chipmunk. It actually said, look at the cat and the squirrel, and they're such good friends. And then the chipmunk is clearly taking evasive action against being eaten by the cat, and how anybody could think that that's going to end well is utterly, it's beyond me. I mean, we all like cute things. We all like to think that life is a Disney cartoon where the ducks and the elephants are all on the best of terms. And sometimes an animal will pull a thorn out of the lion's paw. But nobody ever seems to think these things through, that there are predatorial animals out there. And, you know, the funny thing, I mean, I would like to talk to somebody at some point, and I'm sure I will, from the SPCA serving Erie County about the coyote that they rescued the other day. Rescuing a coyote has got to pose some kind of risk to a human being. I'm sorry. Whether the coyote was exhausted, freezing, shivering, shaking, you know what? It's still a coyote. And if a coyote can tear a deer apart within about 5 seconds, it could probably do quite a number on you. But, hey, look, I'm glad the coyote is okay. But, you know, there was a time in your lifetime where you never heard about coyotes in suburban Buffalo or the city of Buffalo. You never heard about deer, really, in the city of Buffalo. And now they're everywhere. You've been to Forest Lawn? Forest Lawn is like a deer sanctuary. All right, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And by the way, I don't mind that at all. I think it's very tranquil. And if you're going to stay somewhere forever as a interred person, you guess you might as well have deer coming around and saying hello to you, since the family won't. 803, oh, well, some families are cemetery families. Some families are not cemetery families. So we have a lot of great stuff on the agenda today. I guess I'll call this a kitchen sink Friday. And all of these topics stem from basically what we talked about yesterday, the last couple of hours of the show, about belief in God. All of these things are along the same vein, but not the same topic, okay? There's a theme, is what I'm trying to say. All right, welcome to the program. Bowerly with you on the radio. And the phone number to call is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm a little bit disappointed in you guys. Do I get to admonish you from time to time like a schoolmaster? Okay, I'm a little bit disappointed in you guys today because I thought we would get a lot of calls about miracles. I thought a lot of people had experienced miracles out there. I mean, I'm not going to tell the story again and bore you for the 85,000th time, but, you know, I've definitely experienced at least a couple of medical miracles in my life. And I would, the one I really haven't talked about that much is the retina detachment in the right eye. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but the miracle part about that is there is such a small chance when you have a completely detached retina that you're going to get vision back better than before it actually detached. And that's exactly what happened in that situation. And I was, you know what? I've been through a lot worse. And I was so nervous prior to that surgery because I didn't know what to expect. And the doctors, they didn't want to give me any false hope. But somehow, after a series of operations on the eye, my vision is 20/25 in the right eye, which is better than it was uncorrected before the retina detached. I would call that a miracle. Technically, they say I'm an outlier. And I've certainly talked about the cardiac stuff enough. No need to go in there again. But people experience, I think, miracles all the time. And I thought we'd have more miracle calls. I also thought, frankly, that I would hear from some people who have had near-death experiences, like on my show, when nobody calls. Fortunately, that doesn't happen all that often. I just like to have fun with that. That's a near-death experience that I share with you. If you want to get on hold, I'll tell you what. It's going to be, I got to be honest with you, it's going to be about a 10-minute wait because we've got commercials, we've got news and everything, but here's the deal I will make with you. It's the same deal I make every day. I don't keep you on hold any longer than I need to keep you on hold, and the reason for that is real simple. I am not a patient person. Okay, that is not one of my virtues. And I don't like being on hold any more than you do. So I try to put myself in your shoes and say, yeah, I got to get to these people as fast as I can. But now I got to take a break. So, you know, it is what it is on WBEN.